Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. Today we read from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father'?" They said, therefore, "What is this that he says, 'A little while'? We do not know what he is saying." Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a man has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." A little while is just a little while, though it may seem like an eternity. Meanwhile, what we see colors what we think, feel, and believe. And that's why Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The disciples would see Jesus arrested, beaten, mocked, spat upon, humiliated, and finally crucified. They would be overcome by sorrow, but their sorrow would last just a little while. Jesus would rise from the dead, they would see him again, and they would be filled with joy. And when they saw him again, they would no longer remember the sorrow and pain that they felt when watching helplessly as he was led away like a sheep to the slaughter. And so it is with all Christians. Jesus is hidden from our eyes, and none of the promises he so graciously gives to us has any visual evidence to which we can point and on which we can rely. Faith requires us to shut our eyes to what we see, feel, and experience. We're to ignore what appears commonsensical and hold on to what is demonstrably impossible. Faith is contrary to sight, and sight is contrary to faith. A little while and you will not see me. That made them sad, and their sorrow was deepened when they succumbed to the weakness of their flesh, denied Christ, and cowered in fear after his death. But it was while they were enduring this terrible sorrow that Jesus was doing what would bring joy to the world. You see, they were feeling something, and their feelings lied to them. And that's why we don't base our faith on how we feel. The words "a little while" appear 7 times in our text. The number 7 is used in the Bible to speak of God's gracious authority in this world. The number for God is 3, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the number 4 is for the world, as in the 4 points of the compass. So the number 7 is the number symbolizing God's gracious rule in this world through Christ. 7 times "a little while" occurs in this portion of St. John's Gospel, in order to drive home to us the fact that the little whiles of suffering that we endure are under the control of our gracious Heavenly Father. Do you think suffering and sorrow are good for you? Well, that depends. It depends on who you are. For those who believe in Christ and his gospel, he promises a joy that nobody will ever take away. And he promises that their sorrow will last only a little while their joy will last forever. He promises they'll be able to ask the Father for anything in his name. He'll surely give it. And for such people, The suffering and sorrow may serve to draw them closer to God by purifying their faith. They learn to base their faith not on the fleeting feelings of the moment or on temporary successes, but on the clear words of the gospel. And they learn to judge God not by what they feel God has done, but rather to trust in God because of what God says. So they look for Jesus. They look for his crucifixion where he died for them, and then they know that God will bring good out of bad. But suffering and sorrow is not necessarily good. It's not good for those who don't believe. It just embitters them in their unbelief, makes them cynical and angry, and they become hardened in their ungrateful denial of God's goodness as they point to their own troubles as proof that God doesn't really care about them. And they hear about the benefits in patiently enduring pain and loss, and they find such claims to be utterly absurd. Well, how do we explain this? How can we reaffirm a Christian in his Christian faith and also invite those who are not Christians to consider that the God who appears to be so hard and callous toward their pain is in fact full of mercy and compassion? Let's go to the illustration that Jesus himself used. Women who give birth to children say that men can't understand what that's like, but Jesus certainly can. He suffered all human suffering on the cross. He endured the pains of childbirth when he suffered for mothers. He knows what he's talking about. And Jesus says, a woman when she is in labor has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a man has been born into the world. Despite the sorrow she feels when she is facing unwelcome pain, there's a joy that is greater than the sorrow. In fact, the joy of a man coming into this world is so great that she forgets how much pain she experienced beforehand. And why is that? Because a man is precious. It's interesting how Jesus speaks here. He doesn't speak of a baby or child. He speaks of a man. When we think of childbirth, we usually envision a little baby nestling comfortably in his mother's arms. But that baby has a future. The original Adam, or man, was made in the image of God and fell from innocence. God welcomes every child born into this world to the waters of holy baptism, where he or she will put on the new man and receive in Christ the image of God. We are precious in the sight of God. That's why Jesus endured the cross. We read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus saw beyond the pain that he would endure. He saw the joy that was set before him, and he did not let the shame of the cross deter him, because it was only to be for a little while. It is only possible for us to endure suffering as we look to Jesus, who suffered for us. Jeremiah writes in the Lamentations, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." The waiting seems to be for so long because we are stuck here on earth where we live, and we have no greater perspective than what is visible up to the horizon. How far away is that? Not very far. And that means we cannot see the end of whatever the trouble may be. And that's precisely why we cannot afford to depend on what we see. Faith does not demand sight. Faith demands God's promise. We go by what we hear, not by what we see. We have more than the promise of God's word that he knows what we need. We have the promise from Jesus that whatever we ask the Father in his name, he will give us. Whatever we ask in Jesus' name, we will receive. Whatever we do in Jesus' name, God will bless. Whatever worship we offer in Jesus' name, God will graciously hear and accept. When we die in Jesus' name, our Father in heaven will receive us into our eternal home. Now, the name of Jesus isn't a mantra with magical powers, but the authority of Christ's name is the authority that flows from his wounds. It is the authority to forgive us sinners our sins. And this power comes upon us when we're weakened by our own flesh. We're afraid and we lose heart. Our faith is so pathetically weak. We begin to question even the most fundamental truths of the Holy Scriptures. We wonder if God cares just because he has seen fit to permit us to suffer pain. Our confession of the faith becomes tentative. We act as if God's promises aren't even trustworthy. We doubt what God has so vividly proven in the crucifixion and resurrection of his only begotten Son. We have seen Christ crucified for us. We've seen the eternal love of the Father coming to us from that holy suffering, and then we have doubted that it was true. But God won't leave us alone to our doubts. The reason we doubt is because we fix our eyes on our own suffering, and God invites us to look beyond the little while of our own suffering to the suffering of Jesus. And so we look and we hear God's word telling us what that suffering means. He gives to us the forgiveness that he purchased by his blood. And we know when our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake, not our sake, not because of what we've done, not because of what we've earned, not because of what we've promised or prayed, but because of what Jesus has done. When we know that our sins are freely forgiven because of Christ's death for us, we also know that whatever we ask in Jesus' name, our Father in heaven will give to us. How could he deny us anything of true value when he gives us his own dear Son? So what is the loss you mourn today? What is the pain that you suffer? How badly have you been burned by life, and how deep is the sorrow you feel? No matter how harsh your pain may feel to you, be sure of one thing. Jesus has borne that pain and more. He has borne the source of it. He has washed away the sin that causes it. By his holy suffering, he has forever sanctified the suffering of his Christians, and he has promised not to leave us comfortless. But he gives us his Holy Spirit, who testifies to our spirits that we are the children of God. So we ask in Jesus' name, and our Heavenly Father surely gives us everything we need. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. That's First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, North Dakota, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Minnesota, and First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, Minnesota. We have divine service every Sunday morning at First Evanger in Fertile at 8 o'clock, Grace in Crookston at 9:30, and First American in Mayville at 11:30. Please tune in next Sunday morning, the same time, the same station, for the next broadcast of Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast.